We're here in Pittsfield, SpartanUpPodcast.com. Spartan Up Podcast. This is going to be a unique podcast because, one, we've got a really unique individual that we're going to talk about. You guys, well, you know Mark.
I know him real well, yeah.
You're going to be blown away. You haven't met Mark yet.
I have.
You know Mark. But we're also going to take some time in this podcast, not to infringe on any of Mark's time, to talk about putty.
Because
there are viewers that think you're intelligent. And you're nice, and I know you're having some issues right now with self-esteem. So we're gonna work through those.
I'll talk to the doctor.
Talk to the doctor.
Sure.
Wait,
let's go around and introduce ourselves.
Thanks for that intro, Joe.
Dr. Johnny, Superstar Sephra.
Yes.
And Colonel Nye. That's your new nickname, Superstar Sephra.
Love it. Speaking of superstars, Mark Webb.
Unbelievable. Did you see those jumping jacks?
Superstar. Yeah.
Pretty good, right?
Oh, incredible.
He, I think it was you that emailed me. He's a friend of ours. He gets in a motorcycle accident. He loses his leg 3 days after I had seen him. And he's doing a selfie the next morning saying, what did he say?
There were two great ones. The first one, within hours of losing his leg, like when most people would just be like, you know, devastated, he sends out a Twitter, a tweet that says, lost my leg? Oh, well, better take a selfie. A picture of him smiling and his nose is all smashed and big cut across his forehead. Big smile. The guy's got $1 million smile. So that was the first one. And then after his first surgery, just sort of cleaned things up, about 2 o'clock in the morning, his next one says, if you've ever considered sending me a nude photo, this would be a great time. Now, backfired. We all sent him nude photos, of course.
Sure.
But I know for a fact he did get a few of the ones he was looking for. So probably on that note, I can't promise we'll show any of them on the podcast. But
That is great. That's a great story. All right. Well, you guys are going to love... this thing. You've come across situations like this all the time. Is it rare to come out of it immediately and just be in a great mood?
I think so. I think it is. I think most of the guys work to get there.
Yeah.
But I think right away until, you know, when it, anyway, we'll talk about it.
All right, let's watch it.
We're here for Spartan Up the Podcast. We're on the Amy Farm. We're with Mark Webb. Mark, I met six years ago. How many years ago did we meet?
It's about 5 years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Five years ago, we met at the death race, and Mark was one of a bunch of guinea pigs. And the goal was we were going to break people. And in doing so, wanted to find the core of that individual, what kind of spirit they had. And maybe there'd be a few that finished this crazy race called the death race, and those would be inspirational people. By and large, we found most people failed. Most people just didn't have it. Mark was one of those people who just didn't have it. Quite honestly, he just got brushed away with the rest of them. And he had, honestly, a bad attitude and quit for the wrong reasons. And then we got to know each other over 7 or 8 death races. The guy just kept coming back. It was like a virus that wouldn't go away.
Yeah, it kind of is. And it's funny because when you do that to people, a number of things can happen. One of them can be they kind of go off and never come back again. And that's probably 3/4 of people at least. But there are some, like myself, that realize, hey, this is a chink in my armor that I need to fix. And that's pretty much what happened with me. I think in a couple races, you found, you know, the first race was mental. The second race, you found physical chinks in my armor. And, you know, I basically spent periods of time fixing them, you know, putting some spackle in them and coming back and hoping you don't find where those other cracks are.
But ultimately, and we're going to get into why this is true, ultimately he broke me. And that's what's really interesting about this relationship, if you can call it a relationship, is he, you know, there's a saying about a teacher and a student. And I felt like in the beginning, this is not ego driven or anything, but I felt like I was the teacher, or at least the event was the teacher, and you were the student. And in the last 5 months, you've become the teacher and I've become the student. So I'm sitting here praising you because you've completely transformed and in doing so changed me. So other than lots of failures in this social experiment called the death race, here's a success. This is a success.
Yeah, well, I mean, I certainly think that not just the death race, but other things I've done have kind of helped me grow very much as an individual. And, you know, other things happened in parallel. You know, I became a single father at the same time. And just like many different events happened in the last 3 or 4 years that really kind of make you think, you know, shit, I got to grow up a little. And, you know, death race is one of them. And that early relationship between you and me, I remember Winter Death Race, not this year, but the last year, you made a joke about, oh, you're just going to quit again. And I think I retorted with something about me being your favorite quitter or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went on to succeed and finish that race. And it was, there was no way I wasn't going to, mostly because of that one thing you said. Basically, it was, screw you, Joe.
Yeah, I wonder if subconsciously I was really looking to get that out of you. Like, you're going to have to cut this out of the tape, but I think secretly I really want these people to finish, even though I'm supposed to be the asshole that breaks people. Because when you finish, it's special.
It
right?
is. It really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially something with few finishes and something that's so hard. And I kind of got that from you at that point.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Yeah. That was the message. Like, stop quitting, would you? Let's move on with this now.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm getting a little tired of this.
so let's ask, like, what was the shift that made you not quit, right?
You know, physically, I knew I had it. There were certain parts of the race that, you know, I could have trained more for, and I did. There were certain weaknesses in my body and my training that I needed to fix up. But the physical stuff really doesn't and can't change that much. You know, 90% of the change that needed to take place was here. And it's very much a case of, okay, I'm in a difficult, sucky situation right now. I'll push through, it'll be over in 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, but it will be over, and at that point I can just move on. And so very much in my mind, it was a learning process. And again, that's not just in the race, but the race has really helped me find parallels in life where you have to do the same thing. And, you know, I think...
You can't quit life, right?
You can't quit life. You have to keep going.
You have
going.
To keep going. Yeah. So, and that's,
and you only have one shot at it.
You got one shot.
Right.
So Marion, our shooter and producer, who's not supposed to ask questions, just asked a question. You're in a situation now where it's not like the race that's going to be over on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right.
No matter what we tell you.
Right.
This is never going to be over. You're living with this situation. How are you dealing with it?
But it kind of is going to be over. So very specifically, you know, I ran a sprint with my son, who actually inspired the hell out of me. He ran the full-on sprint in Amesbury as an eight-year-old. And, you know, he had some moments where he did the same thing I've done in the past. He's like, I don't want to do this. And I'm like, you know, just keep going. And he had fun on parts where adults hated it. The barbed wire crawl, he said, was his favorite. But, you know, the day after that race, I got involved in a pretty serious motorcycle accident. And right as it happened, I had 3 minutes roughly in my head where I dreaded the life that was coming, because I had all these events, all these things I wanted to do that I could no longer do. But very quickly, I started thinking about inspirational people that I've raced with and that I wouldn't have met if it weren't for other physical endeavors I've done. Races that have, you know, races that are deaf, races that have prosthetics. And you say that this is never going to be over, but in my mind, I see that it will be. I see races on prosthetics that race just as well, if not better, than people that haven't, you know, gone through that trauma. And so for myself, I see this as just a delay. And, you know, another thing kind of I had to say is I trained mentally and physically pretty hard for this year's Summer Death Race. I will say
he looked, and I'm not saying this because you're here with your situation, he looked extremely fit this summer. I was actually worried he would finish.
And I did. But yeah, no, I had some issues. I had some issues with my back. I had some issues with my shoulder, and I spent a lot of time with a trainer to fix those, and I was probably in the best shape I've ever been in my life. And you know, I had an accident 5 weeks ago which caused pretty severe trauma in my lower left leg and me losing my foot. And physically, if I wasn't in that good shape, I think things would have been way worse. And I look at it as, you know, this is a resting period. And after the death race, I had nothing to look forward to, and my motivation was starting to dwindle. And the weird thing is, that this situation I'm in right now has actually given me a new drive. I now have a new goal and something else to prove, not to everyone else, but something else to prove to myself. And so in some ways, this injury has actually given me a new lease on life rather than actually impacting the one that I had. It's weird, and
That's like an athlete that you hear has some serious injury, right, and they come back stronger.
Right.
And so you're motivated again.
I totally am, yeah.
Right? And this is a motivation that may last forever.
Possibly. Who knows?
Right?
Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, right now I'm in the impatient, this thing better heal damn quickly kind of phase, and I don't know how long I'm going to be able to be ambulatory, but once that happens, I'm going to accelerate as quickly as I can. I signed up for a marathon in April.
Nice.
And I plan on finishing with a decent time.
Nice. That's great. And are you talking to Amy?
Yeah, actually, I'm talking a lot with Amy Winters. Yeah.
Amazing, right?
Yeah, she's phenomenal.
Anybody who doesn't know, Amy did a death race with us. I don't think you were there, Mark, but we were in the swim. It was hypothermic. Everybody got hypothermic in the swim. I don't know what year it was, two years ago.
I was actually there when she came out of the water, yeah.
She comes out of the water. Two Marines come out of the water. I tell them all, I'm sorry you guys can't continue. She takes her leg off, dumps the water out, puts it back on, and says, can I go forward anyway? The Marines are on the floor crying.
Yeah.
So, like, inspirational. Yeah. Right? She doesn't care.
She doesn't care.
Yeah.
And actually, that's kind of one of the things that it's in my memory bank of things that basically makes me realize this isn't the end of anything. This is the beginning of some cool things.
Yeah. And you got to remember, it's going to be a lot cheaper shopping for shoes.
It is.
It's half price now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I need to find someone else with a right foot gone so we can split the cost. Same foot size.
I want to talk about motorcycles because I had a motorcycle. What is your opinion? If you had to do it again, would you say don't ride motorcycles? What's your recommendation to people out there?
So this next year, I'm going to concentrate on basically running again. The year after that, I'm going to get back on a motorcycle. But there are some things. So I ride a cruiser . And, you know, I rode with safety in mind. I assumed every car in my path was out to get me. And, you know, the situation I was in, I was actually going fairly slow, 20 to 25 miles an hour. Somebody cut in front of me. I had nowhere to go. I was not that much further from the vehicle that you are. And, you know, it was one of those situations that if I was on a pedal cycle or some other vehicle, the same thing would have happened. I'll do some things differently. You know, I'll put more safety gear on. I'll put kind of flashing lights during the daylight to make things more aware. I actually wrote about this on a blog post like a couple months ago when another event happened during a challenge series that I do, when someone sadly passed away during an event when hit by a motor vehicle. And a lot of people were talking about not doing that event going forward. And I wrote about it from the point of view that you can't stop doing the things you love in life because there's risk involved. You know, you have to understand the risk, you have to mitigate it, but you can't stop doing the things you love. And I love to ride a motorcycle. And, you know, I'll start wearing a helmet. That's something I didn't do. Very lucky.
Yeah.
Very, very lucky. But other than that, I'm going to ride again. I love it too much.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, most people can't get back on, right? They can't get back on a horse or back on a... I have a tough time in a car because I've been in multiple very bad car accidents.
Right.
And so amazing that you'd get back on the bike. I don't know if I recommend it, but it's your thing.
Yeah. So you're not going to be a passenger on the bike then?
I'm definitely not going to be a passenger with you on the bike. This is like failing the first death race. I want to see a few more years of you riding.
Okay, deal.
I hope you're not sitting still while you listen. If you are, you better get a burpee break in.
Hey guys, my producer says we need a lot of reviews on iTunes so that Apple will make it easy for you to find our show. Can you help us out by subscribing and writing a review? We'd really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
So, viewers, Spartan racers out there, athletes are asking, how did I get it done? How did I get motivated? You are an inspiration. What do you say to them?
So, I mean, motivation is something that hits you daily and something that can be required daily, but it's almost always for a long-term goal. And, you know, recognize, one of the things I've learned is you got to recognize you're going to have down days. In the 5 weeks since this happened, I've had days where I just don't want to keep moving. But you have to, and you know, on days where you don't feel like doing your workout, where you don't feel like doing the run, don't do the 8 mile run you were planning, just do a 2 mile, just do something. And more often than not, that will just put you right back.
It's funny, we interviewed a top Ironman. We've interviewed some really cool people, none as cool as you. And he said, because it's hard to go out 5 hours every day on the bike when you're playing at that level.
Yeah.
And he said, all right, I'm going to go out for a half hour.
Right.
Half hour turns into 1 hour, turns into 2 hours. Before you know it, you get it done.
Yeah. Right? I found that way in the gym and on runs all the time. Right. I'm like, well, I don't have the motivation, the energy. I didn't eat enough. I'll just do a mile run, and I end up doing 10. Exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So that's basically it. You know, sometimes you need to just give yourself a little push. And motivation, you know, if you have a big enough goal, a good enough goal, just chip away at it a little bit each day. And more often than not, it's easy. On the days where it isn't, just you know, plan to chip away 20% of what you plan to do. And like you say, that 20% will probably turn into 100, 150% of your original plan.
We were with one guy, and this is something I do too, that says I make my wife drop me off 30 miles from my house. No money. Now you got to get motivation. You got to get home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it might take you four hours longer than you wanted. But
that's right.
Yeah.
Got to get home.
Hey, and that's it. It's whatever works for you. Sometimes you need to have that forced situation. You know, myself, I just chip away a little bit of time, and more often than not, I get to it. Definitely having a goal, you know. If you have a goal that you want to be able to run a marathon, you know, aim higher. You know, have your marathon be a midway point, and that kind of...
Well, that sets the bar, right? And then everything's easy compared to, like, I found that if I say I'm going to work out for 2 hours, at 90 minutes, I'm tired. If I'm going to work out for 4 hours, well, just before it's over, I'm tired. Like, wherever you set the goal at, you get tired when you get close to the goal.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So, I mean, I didn't do my first marathon until October last year. And at that point, I was used to doing multiple endurance events that were a minimum of 12 hours. So for me, I didn't look at a marathon as running 26 miles. I looked at it like, oh, this is only four and a half hours of my life. I can do this. I've done three times that every weekend for the last 6 months. Right. And so at that point, aim as high as you can and just chip away at that goal. And that's my motivation.
Nice.
Yeah.
Favorite exercise? Well, there's a truck going by. Everybody likes to hear super people like yourself what their favorite exercise is. I don't know if it's changed since your accident. What's your favorite exercise?
Oh, since my accident? Well, I just tried to do jumping jacks, and they're pretty hard on one leg. you know, I started as a meathead, so my favorite exercises have always been the squat and the deadlift.
Nice.
You know, I'm chipping away at my single leg squats. It's great for everything. I know you're a big fan of the burpee. For me, my favorite exercise is the one that sucks the most, and that basically means you need to do it.
We are on the same page.
It means you need to work at it. You know.
What do you need for prosthetic? You need anything? Because we're tight with CIF.
Okay.
And they get that stuff. So.
Yeah, that's something I'm still working on. I have connections as well that. Right now, I'm just concentrating on healing.
Right.
The prosthetic thing, once I start getting ambulatory, my walking prosthetic, that's when I'm really going to start. But I'm definitely going to buzz for that.
Yeah, let us know. We can do something carbon fiber that's like maybe hold an axe or something.
Yeah, sweet. Sweet. Right. Multi-purpose.
Good stuff.
So Mark Webb's a pretty unique individual. I mean, we all wonder what would happen if we're in that situation. He's a pretty extreme example of being able to bounce back so fast. What do you guys think it is that allows him to do that? What's happened to him? What are the characteristics that cause him to be that resilient?
I mean, I really like what he said. You know, Joe said the first time he came to one of his races here, right? And he said that there were a lot of flaws and things that came up in him that he wanted to work on. And he went and he came back a stronger person. And then again, it was like flaws, chinks in the armor, went and came back. And it was like the ability to be able to say, okay, you know what? Actually, I'm realizing that there's some things I need to work on with myself. Goes back, puts in the time and dedication to get better. And then he said right before this happened, he was at his strongest and, you know, most mentally fit. So he was able to face those demons already and realize that like there's things he needs to grow and work through. So now when another big obstacle, probably the biggest one of his life, comes up, he's able to do a positive reframe because of that frame of reference.
But
concept.
To him, you're saying it's just another obstacle.
I mean, I think that because of the training and what he's been putting himself through and the things that he's proved to himself through things that you guys have hosted and just, you know, how he's lived his life, that he has put himself, like the brain patterning thing that we've been talking about,
sure,
to be able to be more resilient and to be able to bounce back and be able to have a perspective and zoom out a little bit about what's going on. Whereas most people, you know, we say you either wallow in the negative or or you find that positivity, which it seems to be a trait of all these people we're talking to. So he's just a remarkable person and such a nice, such a great guy. Rolls with the punches, certainly.
I was just going to say, it's just an indomitable spirit is what I took from that.
Yeah.
I mean, and you talked about him having a great smile and just being a great guy. And so, again, just to echo what you said, I mean, here's a guy who's just not going to be beaten.
Yep.
But it didn't even take him, from my understanding here, it didn't even take him long to decide I'm not going to be beaten.
No.
So almost immediate.
I don't know. I remember when it happened, and I don't know if I would have bounced back as quickly as he did and in such a positive attitude that he had. I don't know how you felt about that, but I was playing the role in my head and said, man, he's got it.
Well, you're right, though. The doctor could take us through the grieving process of loss, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't think most people...
Well, two things on that. Like, you were very frank about that you really feel that you're learning from him now. You know, he came back to races here, you know, time and time to learn and to grow. And you're saying here's your opportunity to learn and grow from him. But you know what? He also referenced that there are other athletes out there that by being exposed to them, Amy Permauer Winters in particular, who's been very helpful, she lost a leg. Yeah. And he's watched her do unbelievable things out here. So where most people... they lose a leg and they think it's done. There's nowhere to go here. He's seen other people.
That's a good point. We've had a lot of people around that are missing limbs and still active, more active than most people.
Yeah.
And so he had some examples to follow.
Just right away to draw on.
Yeah.
But again, that's that whole idea of obstacle community and putting yourself in situations. He's been out there and put himself in really tough situations where he's watched other people succeed.
And that's also a strong community, right? And I think the obstacle course race community really is something where there are these role models that you can turn to and look to and that will be supportive and be there for you. And I think that's huge. And to have that support network and is endless in terms of healing. And I think, again, to the PTSD that a lot of the veterans deal with when they're dealing with these same sort of situations. And obviously there's a huge community around the military, but oftentimes I don't know. It seems that it's a little different than.
Yeah, it is, and you hear these stories, and I don't know the SEAL's name, but I know the story, and he lost both his legs, and he put a sign up in his room that if you're coming into this room to feel sorry for me or to cry, stay out in the hallway. I don't want you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get up and walk again.
Yeah.
I mean, so he put a sign up, if that's what you're planning on doing when you walk in this room, stay in the hallway.
You're in the wrong room.
You're in the wrong room. I'm going to be getting out of this bed and walking again.
So he was setting positive expectations. That's also something Mark did. Mark's already signed up for a marathon for next April. So this happened, September, October, and he signed up for a marathon, a 26-mile marathon.
He was going to do the New York Marathon with me and my son, and he couldn't make it work because the wound wasn't completely healed yet. But, he's an animal. He wants to get another motorcycle. I mean, he's...
Yeah. Well, one other thing that I just want to address, because I've had a lot of conversations with Mark since. You know, he actually did come, and I had spent some time at the top of the mountain here with him. And so here's a guy, you know, several weeks out of losing his leg, makes it to the top of the mountain to hang out at the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that was really cool, we're talking about the positivity and the immediate resilience and whatnot. He's also been very honest about that no matter how positive and resilient you are, there are ups and downs. And so he's not pretending that it's not hard, but he's not...
But he's okay with the hard because he's been facing it.
Yeah, right? The idea about somebody in one of the other podcasts said, wake up expecting resistance. It's not going to be an easy day. He knows every day is not going to be easy. There's pain, there's surgeries, there's recovery. But that's life. And he's not resenting that. He's just choosing that's the challenge, right?
You're going to be somebody said to me, we have not done a podcast with this person, but you're going to deal with terrible things, and it's really up to you and how you're going to deal with them. You're going to be happy about it, or you're going to be sad about it.
And once it's happened, once you've lost that leg, you've lost that leg. Every second you spend wishing you hadn't lost that leg is a wasted second.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, good stuff.
Amazing stuff.
Maybe. All right, let's talk about how people can learn more. They can go to SpartanUpPodcast.com. They could talk to Dr. Johnny if they've got any kind of mental or physical issues. He can sort them out. If they've got friends that are bothering them, they can talk to Colonel Nye. He'll send out a team in the middle of the night with those goggles on, take out a friend. And then you've got Sephora. If you're having a tough time with your lawn, you want to change it over to planting carrots.
Food forests,
she's your woman.
Or if you have a helicopter that you need that other seat filled, here's your lady right there.
Hey, Johnny, what about for you?
Oh, we'll get to that another podcast.
See you guys.
Thanks.
All right, who's next?